This is part 8. So yeah, it might seem somewhat redundant, but in many ways it is. But there's a point in these two events happening so closely together. I usually think of when we hear stories of accounts of things happening in a story of similar events, and we expect to see bigger and bigger. The next one, coming the next one. Here you might think that the 4,000 versus 5,000 loaded viewers mildly less. If you look at some of the details, we might debate which was in fact a greater miracle. The 5,000 barely had 12 baskets of leftovers. Those leftovers were the baskets into what points to Jewish baskets, which were about the size of the picnic baskets. Well, here we have 7 baskets left of 4,000, but these are big Roman baskets that carry 50 loaves of bread each. The 5,000, that was in a more Jewish area by the Sea of Galilee. It was a place of lush green grass closer to cities, albeit it was also closer to wicked King Herod's city. The 4,000, this is a very pagan area, probably with less grass also. Cities are further away, and here we have this crowd that has been without food for 3 days, but they're hearing Jesus. So which is the greater miracle? Well, you might want to be saying 4,000, but either way, you ask the disciples both times, they think the whole situation was desperate, even though it happened just a few months ago, very similar. Still, we see Jesus, though, as pretty much the constant. Both times he does so, there's a pattern. He notes the situation, the normally desperate reality. He asks the disciples how they would propose to feed the crowd. He asks them how many loaves you have, and both times takes the bread, gives thanks in this very desperate situation. He breaks it, and then he has the disciples who have been despairing. So in many ways, though it is different settings, still because of these similarities in what Jesus does, the disciples would undoubtedly be seeing deja vu all over again. For both the 4,000 and the 5,000, our Lord is pointing us to how he remains the only hope, the only source of life and light, the only way that this situation could have ever been resolved. I suppose you could say that Jesus wasn't the Lord of it, that he was a tad older and some other things happened in between. But both times, he shows himself faithful, trustworthy, responsible, responsibility for this desperate situation, showing himself the only hope. Both times, the disciples were weak, fully insufficient. Both times their unbelief was larger than their faith and their belief. And then it becomes manifest in words of unbelief, saying things that would actually be undermining the faith that they should have been desiring to preach and instill in people. Yet both times Jesus provided for them and for the masses, both in a more Jewish area as well as a Gentile area alike. Despite the disciples, he has them deliver his goods. Like this, he blessed the faith of all who were looking to him. He even blessed the faith of the apostles, despite Tom's very conflicted with their unbelief. But he is either way the source of every blessing. They become the hands who almost look like saviors, as they would be the ones passing out bread here after these 3 days. This was undoubtedly a bit of the case of the crowd, too. You know, when you have a big crowd, I'm sure that there were mixed motives and reasons, as there are with any time. Everybody here is short of wisdom and understanding. That's why we go to hear Jesus. We know that we are insufficient of ourselves, but Jesus provides no less. And what he was doing in each is he was leading them to trust and act in faith boldly, despite how they didn't have anything in them, despite the unbelief that was in them. He He reverted this crowd who was carried along by his word despite the inner resistance to go and find who if they would have had works like the apostle, the disciple, the spirit, to act in faith, even though they knew completely and see nothing good in that. Like this, I can compare a little bit the gospel this week to what we heard last week. When last week heard the words and commandments and also heard about how Jesus showed the true intent of the commandments when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. And both of them, God makes demands that nobody can keep. Nobody can keep of itself. They condemn it. They show the police of insufficient. And in fact, how we have greatly offended God, our heart and will are being against his heart and will. There is a blood price that would be that is demanded of us. Sorry.
Is your microphone?
Oh, the microphone. I'm sorry. All right. But Jesus took the demand on himself and responsibility for you. And in fear and love and trust in God, he atoned for your sin by laying down his life. And it's through him that God counts you acceptable, and so you are through faith in him alone. And yes, God still gives his word and commands. He wants you to apply yourself to the activities that he wills in his word, but to do so ever relying on him, knowing that he has baptized you to be a son or daughter of God, and always be coming back to him and going from him with what he gives you. As you do that, good things are going to happen around you. As you apply yourself to the word, to his word and the works of it, all the things around you and what would be a desolate, godless wasteland begin to grow up. They begin to green up and show hope like a little sign of Eden making itself known, where otherwise we never would think of doing good works of love selflessly for our neighbors. But that's what God does as your word goes through him. And as you apply yourself in God's word to the works that he shows you while trusting in Christ. You know, it is somewhat silly for people to speculate on where the Garden of Eden is because the flood, because ever since the flood, everything in the world is different. Yet the Lord wants us to ponder some of the things about Genesis 2 here, especially where he mentions, for example, these four rivers. You know, for as long as we've known, the rivers all started in different geographic locations. We don't really know where the Pishon is. Some Jews thought, despite the flood, that because the Gihon is mentioned, that meant that Jerusalem was the original location of the Garden of Eden. Well, it plainly says otherwise there, as we just heard. But nonetheless, there is a Gihon River near Jerusalem. Either way, no. The early Spaniards were known for seeking the Fountain of Youth, like the Garden of Eden, as they went in expeditions to the New World, and many died or ruthlessly killed others along the way. I understand if you ask the Mormons that they tell you the Garden of Eden is somewhere in eastern Jackson County, where right now it's in the 90s and the humidity is 90%. And so we'll let them go seeking it, but we'll just hope they give up so that they would be open to hearing the true gospel, that Jesus, he is the source of the Garden of Eden, so that they would become open to hearing him instead of seeking in a wasteland. The whole source of the Garden of Eden is the Lord Jesus himself. He is the Logos, the Word incarnate. He spoke it into being, overwhelming the darkness. He shaped it into place, and he gave the man to do the work of it and also to guard and to keep it. Guard and keep it from what? Not varmints and insects. Those were still subject to Adam at that point. But to guard and keep the Word and do the works of it. Look for other sources. Don't trust the Lord. Don't trust his word. Bad things happen. And it was that way with Adam, and that was the way it was with the disciples when they look away from Jesus today. That is where they end up saying words of despair. And yet before they could breathe any more faithless despair, Jesus still comes in and gives the word again, and he even gives them the command to go about the work of it yet again, to overwhelm the darkness within them and to cast out unbelief in them as well as anybody in the crowd, to show that Jesus is the Christ, the very source of life, and the way of the cross, which the scriptures all point to, that is the true tree of life. Being with Jesus, receiving from him in word and sacrament is the important thing. That is what the Lord is showing us here, and to carry this with us into our lives throughout the week. You know, so often your setting in the course of your week is going to change. Our circumstances will change. People change. Our perspectives change. We ourselves do. And when that happens, when we get into different settings, we tend to especially think that, well, God isn't here. We are always find ourselves morally and mortally insufficient and deficient of ourselves. But as we don't have the word of Jesus, or as we look away and trust ourselves, we get off on the total wrong way. We need to hear him and to pray and rely on him and know what he calls us to do in the situation before us, to know what our vocation is. But it's always, either way, going forth with what the Lord wills. He wants all to be saved, all oriented toward coming back to Jesus. This is encouragement for you, if you've been a parent or a husband or a wife or a worker or a pastor, and you have seen your failures amid your responsibilities, places where and times where you have looked away from the Lord. Just like the disciples today, you will occasionally be in those different circumstances. You'll have your head turned and you won't see the same Lord around you, maybe because, well, you get distracted. In those moments, especially when we find ourselves, and when we find ourselves without the Lord, our past sins can overwhelm us. The memory of them, they can very much discourage us. And yet, even though you screwed up just like the disciples did this morning, and that even though that looks big in your eyes, Jesus wants you to still hear him now. And he still wants you to obey the calling that he's given you as a father, mother, husband, wife, worker, etc. Still do that, because he has people who need to be served. You give them something to eat. And before you know it, the job is well underway again. You're back doing what parents, wives, workers do. And yet it's not you, as you realize, so much as the grace of God that is working in and with and through you. This is an important thing to be aware of. How it can be if you ever go into a transition in your life. You know, a lot of people move to a different location or get out of a certain school or something like that. You go on vacation. It's especially when we are in a totally different setting. We need to be aware of it. We need to be all the more drawing on our Lord Jesus in word and sacrament in that time, especially because there will be greater temptation to look away, to get more separated. But as you are, and as you show that you belong to Christ, who is the tree, whose cross is the tree of life, well, that'll make a difference in that new setting. Think of it geometrically in terms of you being with Jesus. You know, say that you are just a single point out there in space. You know, a single point out there in space is technically, in mathematical language, it is nowhere if it's just by itself. It's when it becomes in relation to another point that it becomes somewhere. Think of that other point as Jesus. If that other point is nowhere to be found, that single point is again nowhere. If that single point, not in relation to the second point, but becomes in relation to all these other points over here, it's going to have a whole different identity. It's going to be a different line or shape. But as you are together always with Jesus, well, things around you are going to be defined by you with Jesus, by taking shape by that. And good things are going to happen. Think of the two poles of a magnet, how together, well, there's a magnet. There's the magnetism, the magnetic force that takes place. That's what happens as we are with Jesus, drawing everything from him. It affects other things around us so that the world begins to grow up. Good things happen and we get all the more encouraged where the Lord's word takes root and goes forth. So may it be through all of us. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.